There is a lot of ritual in human affairs. The old man started me doing sermons from the annals, the way he had himself in ancient times. He was a firm believer in every man knowing his exact place in our long history. And then, most of the older hands were stuck with teaching Taglian to anyone who did not speak it already. Croker wanted every brother to have a language in common with every other. Sometimes it seemed we had as many native tongues as we had men to speak them. I recalled no instance in the annals when the company had become as polyglot as it was now. Another burden I bore was keeping in shape by hoofing it across to headquarters for staff meetings every few days. A wonderful aroma wakened me. I shoved my head out of our oft-improved bunker. "What are you cooking?" I asked Tyday.
"Uncle Doge killed a wild pig last night. There will be roast pork today."
"I hope I can keep it down."
"It won't be ready for hours yet. You told me to remind you of your staff meeting this morning."
"Shit." It was supposed to be important, too. I didn't dare be late. Better save me some. I dragged my ass out and made what morning preparations I could. None of us were the sort who spent hours trimming our beards or prettying our hair or taking baths. But you do have to splash a little water in your face sometimes, and you do have to get the crud out of your teeth just so you feel like keeping on. I wondered what would become of our teeth if we didn't get one eye back. Those tiny little spells he put on them to protect them had to be renewed every 2 years. And we had battalions of new men still lacking their initial exposures. Tyday didn't save me diddly. He took the pig off the fire and followed me. There's just no ditching the man. I was still not riding. Sleepy had not brought my mount back. Sleepy had not come home yet himself, though he'd had ample time. He'd disappeared while crossing the mountains. No search through the ghost world, nor on sight, had produced a trace. I feared the worst. Two sleek crows followed me, gliding from bush to rock to ruin. Otherwise, there was no evidence to indicate that Soulcatcher remained alive or was interested in us anymore, despite the vandalism of her home. She was biding her time. You could say that about the woman. She was crazy, but never impatient. Her temper did not control her. Lady said she'd escaped the barrage only because she had taken Howler's carpet north so she could conspire with the Radisha. I had orders not to look for Soulcatcher. I had orders to run whenever I sensed her presence. The same with Kina. Smoke was next to useless now. I had become too valuable a resource to risk. Right. I glanced back before we started up the far slope. Uncle Doge was trailing us, as he did so often. His step suggested he was ready for anything. One hand rested on Ashwand always. Tyday and I had resumed training with him, want to or not. He wouldn't explain what was going on inside his head. He just kept whacking away, forcing us to defend ourselves or enjoy painful bruises. He despaired of my ever reaching what he considered minimal proficiency with a sword. He didn't understand the difference between a lone wolf warrior and a soldier who is part of a team of mutually supporting fighters. Or he pretended not to understand. He expected trouble, no doubt about that, but it was too much trouble to explain. I've been running with Croker long enough that I should be used to that. I remind